You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
All right, we'd like to welcome this morning Mr. Ainsley Grizzett to Freedom 106.5 FM, Mr. Jason Akwi, Prison Officer 2, and Mr. Dexter Cyrus. He is also the coach of the prison officers football team. And let me give you an opportunity to chime in as well on the conversation. 625-2257, 627-3223, of course, 306-1065 with your comments. Now, the story of the PSFC footballer and YTRC resident, Mr. Grizzett, has been taking over the airwaves, press. You see a lot of your work on social media as well. So I think this is the opportunity you have to introduce yourself to Freedom 106.5 FM listeners. Who are you, Mr. Grizzett?
I am Ainsley Grizzett, the true representative of rehabilitation. And I am blessed to be alive this morning. Glory to God. Most important. And I also want to acknowledge the Commissioner of Prisons, Mr. Carlos Graspi, as well as Mr. Jude Gordon, the president of football, of Prison Football Club, and also my superintendent, Mr. Walcott, and my judge as well, for giving me the acceptance to be here this morning, and God as well. And as well, Mr. Jason Akwi as my side. So, I have a very important message for the youths this morning, and the parents as well, and the nation.
So we're going to get to that in a minute because, as I said, we are now beginning to know who Mr. Grizzett is. So I want to get a brief history on you, where you grew up, what it was like growing up. You know, how old are you to begin with as well?
I am 25 years old at this time. And so I'm going to get painted one time.
Well, yeah, tell me where you grew up, you know, where you went to school, what it was like growing up.
I grew up from, I from Carinage. One of the greatest places in Trinidad and Tobago when it comes to sports and helping youths develop through academics, you know? And I come from a family that is only sports, the Grizzett family. And I've been getting the one support from them.
So your family members played football as well, yes?
Yes, my mom, my dad, my grandfather, you know, he passed away. But glory to God as well. And my brother as well, and myself. But most of my uncle and aunts mostly play lawn tennis. Yeah, they're more into tennis. So, you know, everyone had their own strength. And I have I find my strength is football. As well, I could play any sports.
Well, I did a little research on you. I read your bio. You like rugby as well. What? Yeah. And I mean, rugby is a sport in TNT that is recognized, yes, but it's not as much hype as like football. Correct. How you find yourself in rugby?
Well, I developed rugby in YTRC in 3 months' time. And I also end up the captain within 3 months because I'm a discipline off the field as well and on the field. And I was really interested from to the person I was before, to know, as I say, I was once in the dark and now in the light. And see, not as is not that I was so into negativity, or you know, it wasn't that, it was just like bad companies, you know, lead me to this circumstance where I end up behind the fence, you know. I used to put more trust and hope and faith and etc. in the friends that I think in that would have lead me to achieve goodness, because I was young, you know, and it never turned out that way, because to this day, to be honest, it's me and my mom and these gifted officers here been supporting me, and it wasn't easy, but I never give up. I never give up.
I know we're going to get to the message for the youth in a minute. Yeah. But since you like football, I have to ask you, World Cup, what games have you followed? What were the favorite moments so far? First question, of course, I should start with this one. Who are you supporting the most? Who you would like to see lift that trophy?
Mbappe.
France?
Yeah, France.
Seriously?
Only. Yeah, from Saint-Denis. I'm a player, I'm a favorite player, but because young, just like me.
Mm-hmm.
And he just motivate me and help me push myself as well. Also, I'm not an attacker, as him, but I was once in a position.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, as a utility player, so it don't matter any day the coach call on me, I will give myself all mm-hmm. anytime because I know I could do it. You know?
So you can play any position any on the position. Field. What's your favorite position to play?
Midfield. I like to be midfield. I like to, as well as a right back for the prison service as well. But
mm-hmm.
as I say, it have any time the coach could say that away in the right wing, mm-hmm. away in the midfield, away in central attack. So I always have to give myself all and always be open up for any opportunity to come and shine.
You know? So your dream final for this year would be France against who?
France against Argentina.
Why everybody like Argentina? So I do understand. Yeah. But yeah, all right. So you're backing France in the World Cup. How has football shaped your life, especially after incarceration? What has it done for you?
As I would say, I would thank God again because it ended up to a point that I was saying, behind the fence, and I don't like to say bars, you know, because mm-hmm. it is impactment. They play that it's kind of like right now I'm feeling like I'm incarcerated. I just mm-hmm. feel it because of the opportunity and the energy and the support and the positive out there with the officers and the staff, you know, the kind of support they have. I feel like no youths actually should be in this situation I'm going to because of the support with family been given mm-hmm. from since day one, but you know, mistakes just happen and we just learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, is sports is really a positive part to play in our life as a new generation, honestly speaking, because the kind of opportunities I give with football and rugby as well, with behind the fence, is like I never knew it would happen. I never mm-hmm. knew this would make me see this kind of places, meet these kind of people, experience going these kind of stadiums, mm-hmm. play on these kind of stadiums, you know? And I really take it in consideration and deeply earn that because I work as much harder than the normal players because I realize this helping me survive, this helping me stay on the right track.
Mm-hmm. It gave you purpose.
It gave me purpose and God give every man and woman purpose in the land we live in. Mm-hmm. And we had to find it. And I find my purpose and I never give up. I went through plenty ups and downs. And it's come like I get so accustomed to positive, it just, and I so believe in my almighty God, it just end up like when they're trying to pull me out, I just watch it and shake it mm-hmm. and continue going, you know, because if these gentlemen or these ladies given me this opportunity, we go direct them to help me, I could also help somebody else,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we could extend the assistance going along to can save lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this journey I own is really history because, honestly speaking, I never knew I would end up in a situation. I never planned this.
Or dreamed
this.
Mm-hmm.
It happened that you have a talent, you have a gift, hold on to it, use it.
And apply it appropriately. All right, for those who have comments, you could send them to 3061065. And any calls, we can take them as well. 625-2257, 627-3223. Now, I'd like to bring in Mr. Jason Akwi to the conversation. As you are an individual who's been seeing the development of Mr. Grizzet and also others incarcerated at this time, tell me how important is football? Because this is all about rehabilitation as well. What do you see? How important is it?
A blessed morning, everyone. And Tasca, thank you for having us here this morning. The mission statement or the mission of the Trinidad and Tobago Prison Service is to protect society and reduce crime through the reduction in reoffending by facilitating opportunities for rehabilitation. Right? And we use sport as a vehicle for that rehabilitation of our clients and our young men and young women at YTRC. And we recently did a study at the institution, and we saw that persons who were involved in sport, the structured sport, actively involved in structured sport, had a lower chance of disciplinary issues in the institution. So we're seeing the impact sports is having on the young men and young women in terms of helping them to identify themselves as having some type of worth and value in the space. Because Tusker, the society has basically given up on these young men and women, and they have sent them to us at the prison, at the prison service, to help restore and rehabilitate. And we have taken that very seriously in terms of the opportunities we are providing for them. And I could tell you, Ainsley, I know Ainsley from day one, his entry into the institution, and to see him make this complete, to see him make this 180, see this transformation, it shows that once that you're willing to change, once you have the mindset that you're willing to change and work hard towards it, then there will be opportunities for you.
Now, reading some of the information that in terms of his journey, there was a time period where, unfortunately, because of lack of funding and access to funding or even interest in the football as part of rehabilitation for YTC and other places, you all had to stop certain tournaments, etc. How can or what would you say to persons listening right now who have the opportunity to be a part of that process? Because they're always looking for pros and cons. What would you say to convince them?
Ainsley said it. Ainsley said that the youth, our future, this generation, our future. And if we want to, really lend to that future, then we have to offer that support in whatever way. We have a lot of NGOs, Tusker, that come into the institution, and they try their best with the resources they have to assist us, but we know that there are persons that are out there with the resources that could really go a long way in helping these youths find their way back into society. We have to move away from that thinking that persons who are incarcerated, that's the end of their lives. We have to see it as this is a new beginning for them, a chance to start over. All right? And stories like Ainsley is just one of these stories that we have in the system. We have so much other persons. For example, we have a gentleman by the name of Nicholas Khan who came out from the system. And Mr. Khan uses his organization to come back and help in this and help these youths and even persons in the adult institution in terms of bringing programs and creating opportunities for them when they leave, that they could find themselves back into society to add positively to what we're doing. So I'm saying that, like everything else, we need all hands on deck. All hands on deck. We're thankful recently the Ministry of Sport has come on board and they are aiding us. In fact, we have a football tournament on this Saturday with Mylat Prison Service FC under 20, YTRC under 20, and the ministry is also bringing a team as well. We have the prison officials and the ministry officials playing an exhibition game. So we are thankful for their involvement. Now we're seeing stakeholders coming on board, and we pray that after this drive that we get more assistance, especially with sponsorship for even the Prison Service FC.
Yeah, because you all are in the professional league as well.
And I know the coach Cyrus will speak more to that.
Now, what struck me while listening to you comment on it is the probability that many people don't know that these events are happening. So do you think marketing and advertising should be more, should be part of that plan as well? Is it difficult to get the word out?
I agree. And we do have socials. We have the Prison Service Football Club socials on Facebook, Instagram. There's a WhatsApp channel as well, right? So we are on Threads also. So we do have the socials out there. this particular event is not open to the public. This one on Saturday. However, the matches, we have the team that's in the Pro League. That's open to the public as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
Since it's not open to the public, do family and friends get to attend you go through criteria or stringent?
Yes, they
right.
do. Yes, they
okay.
do. Yes, they do.
So I think to gather that support to let people know, well, there is a way to come and support still.
Yes. So even the prison service, Father's Day was, two Sundays ago, Tusker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we hosted Father's Day, when there's Mother's Day, we host Mother's Day events where we ask the families to come in and have lunch and sit and engage with their family members who are our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all part of the reintegration model back into society. These are human beings in our care for the time that they're there. So we try our best, given the resources we have, to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
To make it happen, you know. So I'm very thankful that you opened this, gave us this opportunity to extend our hands or reaching out for any assistance that stakeholders are willing to come on board and help. And I can say that there are persons in human service Tusker, that comes in religiously every week into the institutions and are doing work with the young men and young women, not only at YTRC, but even the adults at the adult institutions.
As well.
Yeah.
So, Ainsley, by chance, do you all have a matchup, as in, I like the word clients that you use, with against the prison officers? Is there ever a match like that? What kind of energy is in that match?
Like in one sport, right?
Yeah, for football. Yeah. Do the football teams come together?
Yes, but on Saturday, as you said, it would have a kind of unity, like a kind of family togetherness, you know. And we will be playing, it will be mixed up, residents against officers, residents against civilians from outside, you know. But from the
beginning, I mean, I know the love will be there, but there will be competition still.
Friendly
rivalry. That's all looking for. That's what I was asking.
I just nicen it up to that part.
So let's bring in one of this name is very familiar with Trinidad and Tobago football, Mr. Dexter Cyrus, who is the coach of the youth team as well and the prisons team, and for the professional league, you are coach for the prison officers team. Welcome. How are you doing? Because, you know, I have to ask you a couple of questions about Trinidad and Tobago football, right? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So tell me, what was your experience like working with the young men and seeing them develop? And what tips do you have for the Trinidad and Tobago football team to come back to glory, boy?
I've only been the head coach of the prison service football team for one year, well, the last season.
Mm-hmm.
The prison service football team director of football, Mr. Jude Gordon, would have contacted me, and, you know, we had a very fruitful conversation. The format that the league would have taken was a format where the two teams that finished second to last and last would have been relegated to the lower division.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to get relegated. And so he contacted me, and we formalized a plan to take the prison service football team forward. We didn't just take the team forward. We took the team straight into the Caribbean Shield, which is a regional tournament.
Mm-hmm.
The regional tournaments are only played by the top three teams in the country. And the Caribbean Shield also gives you the opportunity to qualify for the the CFU, which is the Caribbean Football Union Tournament,
mm-hmm.
which is a regional tournament also, but it's a group stage tournament. You have to reach the final of the Shield in order to qualify for that tournament. So we're playing in the Shield. Obviously, the only team from Trinidad and Tobago that's doing that. It's been a long, hard road, I should say, because prison service football team for the past 3 years was not really doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
They were a bottom of the table team. Now they're a top of the table team. Hard work and perseverance without a sponsor. And, you know, that makes it even more difficult. Mm-hmm. But prison service has quite a lot of resources that are untapped. You know, they have their own ground, they have their own sports club, they have quite a lot of equipment and these things, but they don't have the money.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. To really maintain a top team. Right? So it was tough. But we did it.
Well, the next question I was going to ask you is, what does it take to transform the team to reach to those kind of heights / goals? You know, and as you said, it's a lot of dedication, a lot of teamwork, and a discipline as well. Ainsley is shaking his head, yeah, because I guess for that you have to want it and to make that type of sacrifice.
Yes, yeah? Most definitely. Wanting it is one thing. Being consistent and disciplined is mm-hmm. is the most important thing. In football, there's no hiding places. You have to get there in the training sessions, on the field, and put in that work. That's what we did. We also revamped the team. We brought in younger players who are able to move more,
mm-hmm.
train harder, train faster, and We brought in some good quality also, especially in the goalposts, right? Mr. Jabari Gray, the captain, Anthony Paris, who is a prison officer, has been a steadfast presence. And we have national players in the form of Daniel Hospitalis, ex-national players in the form of Mr. Wesley John. And, you know, these senior players, you know, they harness the younger players and, you know, keep them focused.
Mm-hmm. So basically, we'll just have to take your team and send them to the World Cup under Trinidad and Tobago flag, basically. Yeah?
Well, all right.
No, I mean, seriously, because World Cup has become, and football has become the topic within the last month or so, you know, leading up to the competition, there's been a lot of discussion as to what Trinidad and Tobago is lacking at this present time in terms of quality of football players, etc. And one of the key points that you just brought up is age. And as this is a focus on youth development and being able to talk about rehabilitation and guidance, do you think it prudent that we take a look at what youth is available and start to hone them and groom them into the perfect team for the next World Cup?
Well, I think we need obviously to go back to the drawing board, and I also think that there are templates and solutions out there that we can follow, you know. Like one of the solutions I think that we should, you know, follow is Trinidad and Tobago is not a large country or a small country. We need to have, mm-hmm. we need to focus on the development of the, what we would call the top players, the good players, and then we need to focus on also the players who are just on the fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Because the top footballing countries in the world, they have an A team and a B team. They have an A bunch and a B bunch. They have a development bunch that they work hard on, and most of the times you get more quality out of the development bunch than the bunch that you consider to be the A bunch.
Mm. Why is that though?
That's because the B team always works harder.
Mm.
Football has changed. Football is not just about skill anymore. Football is about transition. It's about hard work. Sometimes players cover more than 10 miles in a match as compared to 5 and 6 and 7 20 years ago.
Mm.
Right? So Trinidad and Tobago, to be fair to Mr. Dwight York, during his tenure, the grandparent rule, which is a rule where we can access players to play for the national senior team from two generations back, that rule only came into effect midway during his tenure, right? And I think the present coach right now, Mr. Derek King, I think he will benefit from that, grandparent rule, which is a rule now where we can it gives us a wider scope on being able to attract players to play for Trinidad and Tobago at the senior level, right? And obviously, we need to groom our homegrown talent and develop them in a way that not just for a 3 or 4 month competition, right? The youth players need to be training and playing at the highest level, you know, and we need to have development plans for that.
And consistency more than anything else. I always think about my favorite football team in terms of the UEFA is Barca. And they've always had this setup where you have from young people, 5, 6, then an intermediate with primary school age, then secondary. And so that continuity is always there.
Yes.
Do you suggest that we start leagues like that here in Trinidad and Tobago, or at least revamp it?
Well, when you make comparisons to Barcelona, Barcelona has one of the top academies in the world, La Masia. And that's not just an academy as it pertains to just training. That's a live-in. That's a live-in academy where you actually live your life there as a professional. Obviously, these clubs, they understand the business side of the football, and they don't just develop players for themselves. They develop players that they can also sell on to other clubs, right? Having 40 or 50 top quality footballers coming through the academy every year or 2 years, that's something that obviously would keep a club afloat if you are able to develop your own players and keep the quality and develop players and also sell quality. You know, so I think these are the things that we need to take a look.
So a stricter look or a more intense look on the business side of football.
And the development side.
And the development, right.
From the youth level.
And make some merchandise too, so we could buy and support teams and have our cars and colors and jerseys and stuff like that, because that is also added income,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
Ainsley, I want to bring you back in on the conversation here. The focus on young people, because really and truly, when you look at what's happening in schools, in terms of their social life and the distraction of social media and all of that. I know you said it came with a message for the youth this morning. What is your message?
My message is transformation within yourself and believing that you could do better. Don't watch today as a failure, and tomorrow you might watch it as tomorrow that will be the same. Now you have to keep going. And you will receive and you will actually get your reward we're looking for. But everything you're doing, you have to put God first, honestly speaking. And as a simple example as being in the dark and coming in the light now. Because I've been through rough times, hard times, difficult times, good times. And this is my good times, you know. And I just say that, make a glory be a story. So I make my glory be my story here today and moving forward. And I always praying and asking God to keep opening more doors like this for me and for my younger brothers and sisters, as well as in Trinidad and Tobago, not just from my mother's side, you know, because all of we are equal. And we can't discriminate that this, and you're watching this one and you're watching that one. And I'm saying this one better than that, you know, you can't really watch that. You have to watch yourself and focus on yourself, because God never make humans to be destroyed. I always say that, you know, I believe in that, and we are here for a purpose. We have to live it. So, to the young ones, the old ones, mothers and fathers, you all have to be there for the children. Keep pushing them. Don't give up on them. Because the streets have nothing but trouble. Mm. I mean, it have positive, but you have to show them. You have to start from home. And it had the good ones and the bad ones. But at the end of the day, it has so much opportunities given out to us as young men, as young ladies. And we cannot go against that or throw away that, because that will have we live in, that will have we up, that will have we better in yourself. You know, and I always gifted and thankful every day for this kind of opportunity. I tell them, and you see, humility, that is something I still work on, because it had moments I'd be, you know, but you had to have humility within yourself when you're dealing with certain things. But life on the whole, you got you, you know, and humble.
Well, I was now about to ask you, in your lowest moments, what keeps you anchored? And also in your highest moments, what keeps you grounded?
To be honest, I developed a mindset that nothing could stop me. In other words, that nothing could slow me down from achieving what I want. It's up to me. It's my choice for me to. So in other words, any energy come to me that good or bad, I will always try to focus on the good, because I know I have something what I want by aiming for. You know, and I will always aim for that, and that is just goodness. You know, I just want to be happy. I want to live. I want to also extend my experiences throughout reality and expectation. You know, for the young ones as well, because I nowadays this Trinidad and Tobago, it had so much unnecessary things going on, and I think we should do better, because I don't want to die. I want to live, and I want that same energy for myself, for the younger ones too. You know, because we are the chosen generation, and I think we should keep working together and improving on our ability and our talent and skills. You know, and simple things like this. Look where I am, and watch where I is here today. I incarcerated, but watch where I is here today on the radio station. You know, and I also want to acknowledge you all for having me here today. Freedom on 106.5, you know, for having me here today, you know. I appreciate that as well, but moving forward is your choice. You have to make the right choice. Just bring peace. Let me live as one. Let me each one teach one.
Now, I was going to ask you, with about 5 more minutes to go again, in terms of your future, right? Once you have left the doors or gone on the other side of the fence, do you have any plans? Do you have any interests?
Yes, I have a lot of plans. I have a lot of interests. I will continue playing with prison service, because they're my club that I grew up in, from as a ball assistant to a groundsman. Well, from a groundsman to a ball assistant.
Yeah, here you used to paint the field and things.
Yeah, so market and patch it up and things, from and level it off, and you know. And I was so partial on the 20 prison service club. Super League, I also execute that as well, and I also end up on the Pro League prison service team. And moving forward to that, I'm looking forward to go nationals in the future, and beyond that, international, within not just the region but worldwide, you know, to extend it, and also help my brothers as well, to show them that no matter what, you have to work hard. Because at that time I don't, and I just go out and train hard. I want to play. I do like to stay. Football is my number one priority right now. So, not because I'm behind the friends, that I just doing this to try to prove a point or something that's benefiting my life. This is my gift. And I'm working towards this. I see it every day. I sleep in it. And this is what I want for myself and for any younger ones. And as in the future, for my kids as well. You know, man, if you know, when I go out, I will continue with my journey.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I think you will go back and mentor as well,
yes,
for the ones who are in the behind the fence,
yeah,
as you say.
Fence, yeah.
You know, and also have the step beyond the fence as well to continue to mentor, to guide. Yeah. Because I think that's another part of the whole rehabilitation process that we seem to forget. Yeah. Once you get out, what do you do? Because there are social issues to take care of. You have space to stay and all of that,
yeah,
which is a different conversation altogether. Yeah. But Mr. Akwe, I see you nodding your head too. You have any closing comments on how football can be used as rehabilitation?
Well, I'm in the fortunate position at YGRC to be the officer in charge of the sports department. So we have basketball, we have boxing, football, cricket, badminton. We have a variety of sports where we use as, to help these young men and women, as they say, develop on the skills that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone, Tosca, is an academic. Not everyone might be talented with their hands, but we have talented young men and women with athletic prowess and with really good, really, really good potential to go on to do great things like Ainsley here. And I think that using sport as that vehicle could only augur well for creating pathways upon them leaving the institution.
Mm-hmm.
And even to the young persons out there who might think that there's no value in what they're doing, get involved in a sport. I'm fortunate to be a national boxing coach as well, and I have seen where boxing has helped the youths in these what they call high risk areas transform their mindset, transform the way they see life, you know, and become productive young adults and adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would really like to see a real push to get the youths involved in sports, especially in what we consider the at-risk youth in these areas. And I think that could only benefit us as a society going forward.
Well, Trinidad and Tobago, you've heard it from the gentlemen in studio today, Mr. Grizzette, Mr. Akwe, and Mr. Cyrus. Thank you so much for joining me today and, you know, giving us a different perspective on the beautiful game.
Yes.
Thank you so much. You have one more thing to say?
Yeah, I just want to leave them with one thing.
What's that?
Make your audio match a video. Trinidad and Tobago. God bless one.
Well, yeah, I like that. I think I'll borrow in those statements.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
106.5.